All right, so get ready, folks. We are diving deep into Ezekiel's totally wild vision
Oh,
today,
yeah.
specifically chapters 47 and 48,
Okay.
where we're going to encounter a river just bursting forth from the temple,
Oh, wow.
and get this, it reshapes the entire land.
Really?
Yeah, even the Dead Sea comes back to life. Now we're going to be using Dr. Leslie Allen's lecture notes on Ezekiel for this deep dive.
Okay.
And let me tell you, this is not your typical Sunday school stuff. This vision is packed with symbolism and surprises
I bet.
that might just make you rethink how you see the world.
It's amazing how Ezekiel takes something like water, something so familiar,
Right.
and turns it into this incredibly powerful metaphor
Right.
for God's presence transforming everything it touches.
So picture this, Ezekiel standing at the entrance to the newly rebuilt temple,
Okay.
and he sees this tiny trickle of water, almost like a teardrop, coming from under the temple itself.
It's like the temple's weeping.
Yeah.
But these aren't tears of sorrow.
Right.
They're tears of joy, tears of hope.
Oh, I see.
And that trickle, it definitely doesn't stay small for long.
Oh, no. So it turns into like a raging river heading east.
It does.
Wow.
It's like watching a tiny little seed
Okay.
sprout and grow into a giant redwood.
Oh, I like that.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about,
Yeah.
how this connects to our own hopes.
Right.
We all start with small dreams,
Yeah.
small actions, but we hope they grow into something powerful and impactful.
Exactly. Like we all have those little things,
Yes.
but we hope that they become big.
And that's exactly what Ezekiel's getting at here. He's showing us that even the smallest beginnings can blossom into something extraordinary
Okay.
when they're connected to a divine source.
I see.
That's the key. It's not just water, it's a symbol of God's blessing
Right.
overflowing from the temple,
Okay.
breathing life into that dry and barren land,
I like that.
healing what's broken.
So that's like hitting the spiritual reset
Oh,
button,
yeah.
just washing away the past and making
Yes.
things new again.
Think about the Dead Sea.
Okay.
Known for being super salty.
Right. You can't even swim in
Right,
it.
exactly.
Yeah.
But it's completely transformed
What?
by this river. It becomes a freshwater lake teeming with life.
Get out of
And
here.
remember, for the Israelites,
Yeah.
the Dead Sea represented like hopelessness and desolation.
Right.
So this transformation isn't just about the ecology.
I see.
It's about the power of God to bring life and hope to even the most desolate places.
Wow, so that's a powerful image.
It is.
It really is. It's like taking the most hopeless part of yourself
Yeah.
and seeing it completely renewed and transformed.
Exactly.
But okay, now here's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Ezekiel describes how the land is going to be divided up
Right.
among the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah.
And there are some serious plot twists.
Oh, there are. Like what?
Okay, so first, shocker, every tribe gets the same amount of land.
What?
It doesn't matter how big they are
Wow.
or how powerful they are, how influential they've been
So
historically.
that's big.
This is huge,
Yeah.
especially for people used to like constant power
Yeah,
struggles,
they're always fighting,
jostling for position.
always trying to get ahead.
This is about fairness and unity,
Wow.
where everyone has an equal seat at the table.
Like everyone gets the same size slice of pizza?
Exactly, you got it. No more fighting over who got the bigger slice.
I love that.
But wait, there's more.
Oh no, there's more.
The boundaries themselves are totally different from any map of Israel they've ever seen.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
How so?
So now the land stretches all the way to the Mediterranean Sea
Okay.
in the west.
Asked. Okay.
But here's the catch. It no longer includes the Transjordan. That's the land east of the Jordan River.
East of the Jordan. Okay.
And you see, the Transjordan
Yeah.
had been a source of conflict for
All
centuries.
right.
So this new boundary,
Yeah.
it's like a clean break
I see.
of all that
It's
baggage.
like they're leaving it behind and starting fresh.
Exactly, you got it. Fresh start.
Wow.
But are you ready for one more change?
Hit me.
This one is frankly my favorite.
Okay.
Ezekiel says that resident aliens, okay,
Okay.
those are the people who weren't born Israelites,
Right.
but they lived among them.
They were living then.
Yeah,
Okay.
so now they are granted inheritance rights.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, this is huge.
This is revolutionary.
Yeah, in ancient societies, land ownership was everything.
Yeah.
It was like the key to belonging,
Right.
to security.
For sure.
And resident aliens, they're kind of like immigrants, or refugees today.
Right,
They
right.
were often excluded
Yeah.
from these rights.
And now Ezekiel is changing all that.
Wow.
He's creating a society where everyone belongs.
That's radical.
It doesn't matter their
I
background,
love
where they
this.
came from,
Sure.
they all have a stake in the future.
It's like saying You're one of us now.
Yes.
You belong here.
Yes.
You deserve the same opportunities as everyone else.
Exactly.
This is Ezekiel at his most radical.
It really is.
It shows his unwavering commitment to social justice.
Yes.
He's not just talking about spiritual renewal here. He's talking about restructuring society itself.
Oh, wow.
To reflect God's values, justice, equality, and compassion.
Talk about a powerful message.
Right.
And it's still so incredibly relevant for us today.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, in the middle of this reimagined land,
okay,
Ezekiel describes this special zone, almost like a sacred reservation.
Okay.
And within this reservation,
yeah,
there's the temple, the city,
uh-huh,
and a generous portion of land just for the king.
Wow, so it's like the heart of this new society.
Yes, exactly. The place where God's presence is like most concentrated.
It's fascinating.
And I bet there's some deep symbolism going on here, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's no accident that the reservation is flanked on either side by six tribal territories.
Mm.
It symbolizes the gathering of all Israel.
Okay.
Around this secret center.
I see.
And the generous portion for the king. Well, it's not just about giving him a sweet piece of real estate.
Right.
It's about preventing land grabbing, you know,
yeah,
power struggles,
uh-huh,
and promoting a just and equitable society.
So it's not just about lofty ideals.
Right.
It's about coming up with practical solutions.
Exactly.
To real world problems.
Real world solutions.
It's starting to feel like a blueprint for a utopian society.
I like that.
At least from the perspective of, you know, the Israelites in exile.
Sure.
But hold on. What about Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Is it completely forgotten in all of this?
Right.
With this separate temple zone now?
That's a good question.
What happens to Jerusalem?
Well, Jerusalem may no longer house the temple itself, but it's still a special place.
Okay.
It's designated as the capital city.
Oh, okay.
And get this, each of its 12 gates is named after one of the 12 tribes.
Wow.
To signify that it belongs to all of Israel.
So Jerusalem still represents that national unity.
Yes.
Even though its role has shifted a little bit.
It's like saying we may have different tribes and territories.
Yeah.
But we're all united under this one city.
I like that.
That represents our shared heritage.
And to really solidify Jerusalem's significance,
yeah,
Ezekiel gives it a brand new name.
Oh. What's that?
The Lord is there.
Whoa.
That is a powerful name.
Yeah, it's like saying God's presence is so deeply embedded in this city.
Right.
That it's literally part of its identity.
And this new Jerusalem,
yeah,
is a fulfillment of one of Ezekiel's earlier promises to restore the city's fortunes.
Wow.
Remember, he wasn't just making empty promises. He was giving them this concrete vision,
yeah,
of a future where their beloved city would be renewed and filled with God's presence.
It's amazing. And that promise wasn't just for those Israelites living in exile.
Right.
It's a message that still resonates with us today.
It does.
Offering us a vision of hope, healing, and transformation.
So much to unpack here. I'm curious, what are your initial reactions to all of this?
I think what strikes me the most is how Ezekiel blends these mystical images,
right,
with practical, down-to-earth details.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating combination.
He's not just giving us a spiritual pep talk.
Right.
He's laying out a blueprint,
uh-huh,
for a better world.
It's very concrete.
It's a world rooted in justice, equality, and compassion.
And what I find so fascinating is how this vision speaks to our own longing for a better world.
Oh, absolutely. We may not be facing physical exile like the Israelites,
right,
but we all experience moments of brokenness.
Yes.
Loss.
Yeah.
Disconnection.
It's part of being human.
And in those moments when we feel most adrift,
yeah,
Ezekiel's vision reminds us that God is still with us.
Right.
Offer us a path toward healing, renewal, and transformation.
A path forward?
It's like a compass.
I like that.
Pointing us toward a brighter future.
But here's the thing that I think is really important.
Okay.
Ezekiel doesn't just offer a passive hope.
Right.
It's not just like sit back and wait for God to fix everything.
It's more active.
He presents a vision that requires action, participation.
Okay.
A willingness to like roll up our sleeves and get involved.
It's about doing something.
Yeah. It's not enough to just like post inspiring quotes on social media.
No.
We actually have to get out there and do something.
Yeah, we have to embody those values.
Yeah.
In our own lives and in our communities.
So we've unpacked this first layer of Ezekiel's vision.
Okay.
We've seen the river of healing.
Yes.
The land reimagined with equality.
Uh-huh.
And the city named for God's presence. But how do we take these big ideas and make them relevant to our lives today?
That's the question.
How do we translate this ancient vision into concrete action in a world that, let's be honest,
yeah,
often feels so far from utopian? Stay tuned because we'll be right back to dive deeper into those questions and explore the implications of Ezekiel's vision for you and for me, right here, right now.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Ezekiel's vision.
We've already uncovered some pretty amazing stuff.
I know, right? It's mind-blowing.
About this river of healing, the land divided equally, and a city renamed for God's presence.
But now I think it's time to shift gears a bit.
Okay.
And think about what all of this means for us today.
Right. How does it apply to us now?
Because it's easy to get kind of lost in the details sometimes, you know?
Yeah, all those measurements and boundaries and names.
Exactly. But what's really remarkable is that message of hope.
Right.
And transformation that shines through it all.
It's inspiring.
It really is. And we have to remember that Ezekiel wasn't just like writing a fantasy novel here.
No, definitely not.
He was talking to real people. The Israelites who were exiled in Babylon.
Yeah.
And they had lost everything.
Literally everything.
Their homeland, the temple, their sense of identity.
It's hard to imagine what that must have been like.
I know. Can you imagine how they must have felt?
So far from home.
Wondering what they'd ever see Jerusalem again.
Desperate.
And then in the middle of all this despair, Ezekiel offers them this incredible vision of the future.
A glimmer of hope.
Where God's presence is not only going to be restored.
Wow.
But it's going to like overflow.
Amazing.
Into every aspect of their life.
It's like a complete renewal.
He's painting this picture of a transformed land.
Beautiful.
A just society, a transformation of their hearts and minds.
Yeah, it's not just external, it's internal as well.
It's like he's saying, hey guys, I know things are really rough right now.
Right.
But don't lose hope. God's not done with you yet.
There's a brighter future out there.
And it's going to be amazing.
I love that. And that message of hope, it still resonates with us today.
It does.
Even though we might not be facing, you know, literal exile like the Israelites did.
Exactly. We all go through tough times.
Absolutely.
Seasons of loss, uncertainty.
When you just feel lost.
Displaced, like we don't belong.
Like you're searching for something.
Maybe it's a job loss, a breakup. Maybe you just feel lost in your own life.
It happens to everyone.
But in those moments when we feel most adrift,
yeah.
Ezekiel's vision reminds us that God is still there with us.
Offering a path.
Towards healing, renewal, transformation.
It's like a compass.
Pointing us toward a brighter future.
Exactly.
But here's what really struck me.
Okay.
Ezekiel doesn't just offer this passive hope.
Right.
It's not just like, sit back and wait for God to fix everything.
It's more active.
It's about taking action.
Yeah, participating.
A willingness to like roll up our sleeves and get involved.
It's about doing something.
It's not enough to just post inspiring quotes on social media.
No, we have to actually get out there and embody those values.
In our own lives.
In our community.
So that's where the rubber meets the road, right?
It is.
How do we take this grand vision,
this beautiful vision,
and actually translate it into concrete actions in our daily lives?
It's the million-dollar question.
Because it's easy to feel overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, this vision is amazing.
Sure.
But what can I, as one person, possibly do?
Especially in the face of such huge problems.
To make a difference.
It can feel daunting.
But then I think about that river we talked about earlier.
Oh, right.
Remember how it started?
As just a trickle.
A single teardrop from the temple.
A tiny beginning.
And that reminds me of, like, that small act of kindness we might show a stranger.
Right.
Or that little bit of time we volunteer to help those in need.
Exactly.
It doesn't seem like much.
In the grand scheme of things.
But those tiny actions, when they're multiplied across a community.
It creates a ripple effect.
They can create this powerful current of change.
It's amazing.
So it's about focusing on what we can do right here, right now.
In our own little corner of the world.
To bring a little more healing, a little more justice, a little more unity.
To make a difference where we are.
And by doing that, we become part of that river of God's blessing.
Flowing out from the temple.
And touching every aspect of life. Yeah. It's like we're each a little tributary.
I love that image.
Adding our own unique drop to that larger stream.
It's like that saying, we ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean.
But the ocean would be less because of that missing drop.
Exactly. It all adds up.
Now, another thing that really stood out to me in Ezekiel's vision was the inclusion of resident aliens.
Right.
And in a world where immigration is such a hot button issue.
Definitely.
This part of the vision feels especially relevant.
It does.
Because Ezekiel is challenging us to move beyond these narrow definitions of belonging.
Yeah, like who's in and who's out.
And embrace a more inclusive vision of community.
He's pushing back against that us versus them mentality.
Which divides us so often.
It's so true.
He's basically saying, look, it doesn't matter where you were born.
Or who your ancestors were.
If you're here, you're part of us. You deserve a place at the table, a share in the land, a voice in the community.
That's powerful.
And that message couldn't be more timely in a world grappling with all of these issues of xenophobia, nationalism, social division.
We need that message now more than ever.
Ezekiel's vision is like this powerful antidote.
An alternative vision.
A vision of a society where everyone has a stake in the well-being of the community.
Regardless of their background or origin.
And imagine the transformative potential of that kind of society.
It's exciting to think about.
When everyone feels valued and included.
It unlocks so much potential.
All of that creativity, innovation, collaboration.
Exactly.
It's like we're all part of this grand, intricate tapestry.
I like that image.
Each thread contributing to the beauty and strength of the whole.
And that diversity makes it even more beautiful.
More vibrant.
More interesting.
So it all comes back to the heart of Ezekiel's vision, which is the restoration of God's presence.
Right.
Not just in the temple.
But in the city.
In the land.
Ultimately, in the hearts of the people.
It's like this divine energy radiating outward.
Transforming everything it touches.
Infusing every aspect of life with meaning and purpose.
And that transformation, it's not just about external structures or political systems.
It's about an internal transformation.
A change of heart.
A reorientation of our minds.
Towards a deeper understanding of God's love.
Justice. And mercy.
It's about who we are becoming.
Ezekiel is saying, look, building a temple is great.
But the real temple is within you.
It's about cultivating those qualities of love, compassion, justice, and inclusivity within your own heart.
That's the real challenge.
It's easy to get caught up in the external stuff.
The buildings, the laws, the rituals.
But true transformation starts from within.
In a change of heart and mind.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive.
Okay.
I'm curious what's resonating with you.
What aspects of Ezekiel's vision feel particularly relevant or challenging?
In your own life.
For me, it's the interplay between the individual and the collective.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, personal transformation is essential.
Of course.
But it's not enough to just work on ourselves in isolation.
Right, we have to connect with others.
We need to find ways to bring that transformation out into the world.
To create communities and systems that reflect those values.
Exactly. It's like saying, okay, I'm working on being more loving, more compassionate, more just in my own life.
But how can I create ripples that extend outward and affect the larger community?
Precisely. And that's the question we'll be exploring in more depth in our final segment.
Okay.
How can we take the inspiration of Ezekiel's vision and turn it into a force for positive change?
In our own communities and in the world around us.
That's what we'll be talking about next.
Welcome back, Deep Divers. We've been on quite a journey through Ezekiel's incredible vision.
Yeah, we've seen a lot. The river of healing, the land reimagined with radical equality.
That city named for God's presence.
That's powerful stuff.
It really is. And we talked about how that vision, you know, speaks to our own longing for a more just
and compassionate world.
Right. But here's the question that's been bugging me this whole time.
Okay.
How do we actually take this ancient vision
right.
and make it relevant to our lives today? How do we translate these big, beautiful ideals into concrete action?
It's the million-dollar question.
Especially in a world that, let's be real,
yeah.
feels anything but utopian.
It can be tough to see how it all connects.
It's like staring at a blueprint for a dream house.
Okay.
But having zero construction skills.
You don't even know where to start.
So where do we even begin?
Well, I think the first step is remembering that transformation, both personal and societal,
okay.
it starts small.
Right.
It's about those everyday choices that we make, you know, how we treat each other, the values we live by.
Like that saying, be the change you wish to see in the world. Exactly.
How do we actually do that?
Well, Ezekiel's vision isn't about some, you know, far off future utopia.
Right.
It's about embodying God's values.
Here and now.
Right here, right now, in the nitty gritty of our daily lives.
So let's get specific. If we want a world where everyone's treated with dignity and respect.
Then we need to start by treating the people around us with dignity and respect.
Okay, that sounds simple enough.
It does.
But think about how often we fall short.
It's true, we do.
You know, the impatient driver, the snarky comment online.
Or even just, you know, failing to really listen to someone who's hurting.
Yeah, all those little things add up.
They do.
So if we want to live in a society where justice prevails.
Then we need to speak up against injustice whenever we see it.
Okay.
And that doesn't always mean like grand gestures or protests.
Right.
It can be as simple as calling out a biased joke, supporting a cause that you believe in.
Right.
Or even just refusing to stay silent when you witness something wrong. Okay, so what if we yearn for a community where God's presence is real and tangible?
Then we need to cultivate that presence in our own lives.
Okay, how do we do that?
through prayer, reflection, acts of service,
yeah,
just choosing to see that divine spark in everyone we encounter.
It's like we each have this tiny mirror.
Oh, I like that.
Reflecting God's light out into the world.
That's a beautiful image.
As we embody those values in our own lives, we create these ripples.
They extend outward.
Impacting our families, our workplaces, our community.
It all starts with us.
It reminds me of that quote, "No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted."
It all makes a difference. It all contributes to that river of blessing that Ezekiel talked about.
And remember how Ezekiel's vision, it was born out of exile and despair.
Yeah.
That really resonates with me.
Me too.
Because we all experience those times of exile in our own lives.
Absolutely.
Loss of a loved one, a job, a relationship.
Even just feeling lost and adrift.
Yeah, those are the moments where we feel most disconnected.
Most in need of hope.
Exactly.
And that's when Ezekiel's vision can be so powerful.
Right.
Because it reminds us that even in those dark times, God is still present.
Offering that path.
Toward healing and renewal.
It's like a lifeline.
Thrown to a drowning person.
And that lifeline is made up of those small acts of faithfulness.
Those little glimmers of hope.
That remind us that even when things are tough, there's always the possibility of a new beginning.
It's never too late.
And that new beginning, it doesn't have to be this huge dramatic event.
Right, it can be subtle.
It can be as simple as offering a kind word.
Lending a helping hand.
Taking a moment for quiet reflection.
Or just choosing to believe that a better world is possible.
It's about aligning our lives with those values.
Of justice, compassion, and inclusivity.
Even when the world around us seems like it's spinning out of control.
Yeah, we can still make a difference.
And by doing that, we become part of that river.
God's blessing.
Floating from the temple.
Of our own hearts.
Touching every aspect of our lives and the lives of those around us.
It's a beautiful vision.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Ezekiel's extraordinary vision, I want to leave you with this.
Okay.
Don't let the grandeur of the vision intimidate you. Embrace those small acts of faithfulness.
They matter more than you think.
Choose kindness, practice compassion, advocate for justice, and embody inclusivity in your everyday life.
Those are the building blocks of the world that Ezekiel envisioned.
Remember, even the mightiest river begins with a single drop of water.
So true.
What will your drop be? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Ezekiel's vision. Until next time, keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep diving deep into the mysteries of faith and life.